Well, we're in that short summer series. We're looking at some parables, aren't we, together during the summer period, breaking from our theme. Then we're going to be preaching on prayer. That's our new thing as we begin the new season. I don't know if you like, but do you like explaining how something works to somebody who doesn't know how it does work? Or you're not that type of person. Sometimes it's beyond another person's understanding, so they simply become bored and they end up, you're sort of trying to explain things to them and they're bored. I know people who, particularly in my last church, you've got Andy here who fixes cars, but I used to be always fixing people's cars and they'd pop round and I think it was some pastoral visit and they'd say, oh, can you just have a look at my car, Smithy? And I'd end up repairing the car and I'd want to explain why the thing had gone wrong, but they weren't interested in that. They was interested in saving money and getting the thing working. And so they would just be bored. Have we got that first picture? Where are we? There we are. And they would end up like this, thinking that it was just totally, totally boring. I love two-stroke engines. Anybody else? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? High-revving two-stroke engines. I used to race scooters, of all things, yeah. Lambretta scooters. I've raced Cadwell Park, Donington Park, Alton Park, are those who know anything about them. 13,000 revs per minute. Does it mean out to you girls? Get a life. Yeah. But sometimes church is like that. We don't really understand how it works. I'm so grateful to see conversions and people coming to faith, but I just don't understand the process of this thing called conversion. I don't know how it happens. I was having an interesting conversation earlier on with somebody in the fellowship, and they're sort of on a journey, and they don't really understand how it happens. I don't know how this conversion thing works. I know some of the essential components in the journey, but I don't understand it. The people I'd put money on, can you do that when you're a Christian? Well, if we're using it as a figure of speech then, all right. The people I'd put money on as a potential convert seemed to lag. And then somebody I thought who would never become a Christian suddenly believes, and it throws me. I want to say this, would you have put money on yourself? When you look back to where you had to never put money on these, hey, I still wouldn't. But I love it when people, not to embarrass Craig, but I mean, you know, Craig was sort of there on the peripherals and his missus were praying for him and praying for him and the house group was praying for him. And how long did it take, Craig?
10 years.
Was you slow at school as well? Yeah, you see. So that was Craig. And for 10 years, the house group wouldn't accept the fact that Fleur, husband, weren't a Christian. So they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and all of a sudden the penny dropped for Craig. And this is what this parable we're going to look at a little bit explains. We're familiar with the parable of the sower. We looked at that last week. We looked at the four different soils, and that's an easy concept because we can relate to that. We can say, yeah, if I sow seed on a footpath, it's not going to grow, but if I sow seed in a healthy environment, it is going to grow. We get that. And this morning we're going to study this short story, and it's only found in the Gospel of Mark. It's located right after the parable of the sower, and its aim is to bring encouragement to us. The parable of the sower demonstrates the importance of the quality of the soil. But the parable that we're looking at this morning shows the power of the seed itself. It's the power of the seed itself. And we could summarize it like this. When the seed takes root, there will be fruit. That's a bit poetic, isn't it? I've done it again. I'm a poet and I don't know it. When the seed takes root, there will be fruit. We might not know how God works, but we know he's working. And this parable certainly does contain some mysteries and a few surprises. The first thing we notice is that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, which is one of the favorite subjects. And all the way through Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, you get this statement, The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. And basically, the kingdom of God represents life lived under the kingship of God. When we recognize God's right to reign supreme, this is how things will happen. When you fully commit to Christianity, Christianity fully commits to you. When you fully commit to Jesus, Jesus fully commits to you. And so you can take all of these scriptures and you can say, I'm going to claim these, not in some neo-Pentecostal fashion, but because they're God's word and they're God's promises. And I see two main characteristics of the kingdom in this passage. And this is the first one. We can sow, but we can't make the seed grow. One of our tasks as Christ followers is to sow the seed of the word of God. It says there, a man scatters seed on the ground. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to scatter this thing called the word of God, but we can't really do a lot with it. According to Spurgeon, who started Spurgeon's College, he said, holy seed sowing should be adopted as the highest pursuit. Now, one of the dangers of church today is to devalue the word of God and to somehow think that human speculation is more powerful than divine revelation. Never be embarrassed about the word of God. Now, some get it wrong in the church because they just want to tell everybody out there that they're sinners and they're awful, rather than they want to tell people that God loves them. But don't water down the word of God. Don't become so trendy that you miss out this divine truth. It is the divine truth of the word of God that sets people free. And initially that might seem unpalatable. You might think, oh, I've got to water this down. I've got to sort of modify the scriptures because I don't want to come clean with what I really think. People are after truth. If a person asks you about your faith and they ask you a frank question, you have to answer that with truth and conviction, irrespective of how they respond. You don't accuse them and say, but this is what I think for me. Don't make it wishy-washy. We must get the seed of God's word into the souls of people, because if Jesus is to be known rather than religion is to be known, the seed must be sown. Ecclesiastes 11:4 challenges not to delay and procrastinate. And it says these. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, people have great intentions of getting rammed to it, but never actually do it. Some of us have been perpetually ploughing, but we've not scattered the seed in the souls of our friends, our co-workers, our family members. We are not a secret society. We live in the world. We don't come out of the world. The world doesn't live in us, but we are sent out into the world. For God so loved the world, the great John 3:16 passage. For God so loved this lot, he sent. And God continues to love this world, so he sends us, as Mel touched upon. Isaiah 28, 24 and 25 puts it like this. When a farmer ploughs for planting, does he plough continually? Does he keep breaking up and harrowing the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow, caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? At the end of the day, we call to go and sow this seed. But notice that once the seed is sown by a farmer can't really do anything to make it germinate. The seed sprouts and it grows on its own. Even though we can learn a lot about crops, it's still a miracle when the seed sprouts. Actually, no, we're surrounded by miracles. I spend a lot of my time with farmers and in the countryside in this area. And these fields are full of growth. But after the ground is prepared and cultivated and fertilizer, the sower can't make growth happen. We can sow, but we can't make the seed sprout. No matter if the farmer is sleeping or doing something else, the growth of the seed is in God's hands. It says there in the Word of God, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. You may not know how a microwave works, but it doesn't stop them from working. My mother never trusted microwaves. She said it would make my dad sterile. I always remember my mum. She only used to use it for cocoa. And she used to put it in and she used to say, Noel, stand away from that microwave till the bell goes. And everybody had to stand back. Bing! We can now approach it. She loved the microwave. She was suspicious of the microwave. She thought it would make her husband sterile, but she still used it. She had no idea how it worked. So according to the last phrase in verse 27, though he does not know. And I want to say I don't know. And that gives me confidence now to share this gospel, which I passionately believe in, with people who I presume will not be interested. And that has nothing to me being with a minister. It's just got to do with the fact that I believe in this gospel, and it changes my behaviour, and it changes my conversation. I was just sat with a friend in a farm last night, having a coffee about 11 o'clock, and I just talked to him about the gospel, and I just could see him opening up, and it all came on the back. I say this, Nick, of doing your dad's funeral in the week, Nick. He said, what you been doing today? I said, I did Nick Webb's dad's funeral. He said, Nick Webb, did he used to be the Lord Mayor? I said, that's the one. He knew you, Nick. Or he saw you on Crime Watch UK, I don't know. But he knew you. And it resulted in a conversation. And I basically shared with a farmer friend what I shared at a funeral full of pagans. And then he came back to me last night and he wanted to know more. But I had to put my reputation on the line and not talk about shooting and fishing, but talk about Jesus. And it's resulted in this change now. And so it says this in Ecclesiastes. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. So you and I are just called to be faithful and give it a go, and somehow share this story and not preempt how it's going to work out. Because we here together are a group of people who it's worked out in. And if it's worked out with us lot, it can work out with your lot. That's what I think. So just because we might be deficient in knowing, it doesn't mean we shouldn't stop sowing. And some of us don't share Jesus with people because we don't think we know enough. If you are a Christian, you know enough. When people say, you know, what did you do on Sunday? And you say, well, I went to church. And they say, why? Share it in your own words. Don't pinch somebody else's words. They're your friends. They're your family. They're interested in what you say. I've told you time and time again, and if I die here and you do my service here, first of all, I want a good buffet because I want lots of you here. That'll bring the Baptists out, a good buffet. But what I want is that hymn, I Cannot Tell, sang to Danny Boy. Oh, that might shock you as a bit of a drifter. But I love that, I cannot tell, but I love the chorus, but this I know. And my faith is not about what I cannot tell, but this I know. And your testimony is not about what you do not know. It's about this I know. And for some of you, it might be a very different testimony to somebody else. Our part is to sow. God's part is to make it grow. And what's true in our cultural setting is true in the spiritual world. And beginning is often insignificant. What we see next is that the spiritual growth is imperceptible. I got that out. I wrote that phonetically. I was practicing that this morning. I'm not saying it again. And so we see that growth is slow, but eventually it will show. In verse 28, see that something spontaneous happens. It says, when the seed is put in the soil, all by itself it produces grain. God does not need you to make Christians, he needs you to sow seed. That is the difference. And we think we have to make people Christians. We have to be faithful to the commission to sow seed. This is what this parable is all about. The phrase "by all by itself" in the Greek word autonomia, it means automatic. It's where we get the word automatic gearbox from. It says it's automatic. It does it all by itself. It's the idea of being self-acting without visible cause. We cannot make seed grow. We cannot explain how it grows. All the farmers I know are very busy. But this statement describes the organic growth that explodes underground, leading to impressive growth above. Just like the seed germinates out of sight, so too the seed of the gospel begins to grow before it will show. I learned the other week while out on a friend's farm, and he just grows wheat all around Ipswich. And he told me this, he said, do you know the seed that when they put the Egyptian pharaohs into the tombs, they used to put them in with all the belongings? And they took seed out of an Egyptian pyramid that was 4,000 years old, and when it was planted in the ground, it still grew. 4,000-year-old seed still grows today. Why? Because there is life in the seed. And that's why Hebrews 4:12 puts it like this. It says, for the word of God is living and active. There's life in the word of God. It is active. It does not die because there is no visible result. Sorry? The word of God goes out with purpose, according to Isaiah 55:11. I just love this scripture. Isaiah puts it like this, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Bible is a divine book. It is the word of God. Don't listen to the liberals that still tell you it's a human interpretation of God. It is the divine revelation of God, and it is power. We used to sing that song, there is power in the... And you know, it's the same. There is power in the word of God. While germination is spontaneous, growth is always gradual. Do you ever claim the word of God? And I don't mean this in a silly way. Do you ever say, Lord, look, your word says that? Rather, you're a liar. Do you ever get angry with God? In the scriptures, plenty of people do. Do you ever say, Lord, your word says that, God? Peter 3:16 would say that God's desire is all men shall be saved. God, it's your desire that my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, my son, my mother, my father, my neighbor shall be saved. There's power in your word. I claim that. I'm going to keep going at it. Look at verse 28. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel. It's a growing process. Now, look, before the days of computers, for you young people, you are fixated on your mobile phones and your iPads. If you're of my generation, you got a jam jar on blotting paper and a bean. And you grew it in the airing cupboard. This was joy beyond an iPad. Who has grown a bean in the airing cupboard? Yes, we have been there. So, have you done that, Alicia, Ruthie, Nathan? Get a life. Go home and grow a bean. Grow a bean. But I remember doing it. I got the blotting paper. This is before the days of keyboards and printers. There's a whole world out there you've not experienced. And I put the bean in, and I remember going. And first of all, there was that little bit at the top. And then there was a little bit at the bottom. And my mum's saying, what are you doing in the airing cupboard? What are you doing in the airing cupboard? I'm looking at my bean. I'm looking at my bean, Mum. Such joy of growing a bean. And that's what he was like. And verse 28 describes stages or phases or our steps in spiritual growth. While God provides the rain and sun, you know, we do add fertilizer. And spiritual growth happens when we do our part, and God guarantees to do his. He guarantees to do his half if we do our half. He's committed to it. And this growth is a continual process. And you are designed to help, not hinder, the growth of faith in those who have started the growth purpose and process. Be careful how you talk to people on the peripheral of the church. And are you helping them grow, or are you hindering their growth? Some people make Christianity very unattractive with people on the edge by playing politics and having stupid conversations rather than telling them about Jesus. Telling people about church and church politics won't help them grow. Telling them about Jesus will. We're Jesus people. And because the word is powerful and productive, we need to be patient. I know that Jim Locke likes Hudson Taylor, but Hudson Taylor once said, there is three qualifications for missionaries. Three qualifications. And he said this. We'll put the next one on. Okay. Next one. Patience, patience, patience. I don't know much about how corn grows, but here's some facts about how faith grows. Let me just give you, as I draw to a close, facts about spiritual growth. It's normal for the Christian to grow. To say it another way, if you're not growing, there is something wrong. You are designed to grow. And here's a truly radical thought. Believers in the book of Acts were simply living their Christian lives according to what Jesus taught. What you and I consider to be radical behavior was nothing more than a sincere attempt to live obediently. And what many of us consider normal Christian living today, compared with what the first church experienced, is not normal at all. Some of what we do now in church is plain weird. And if those first Christians were Baptist, it would have never got on the church meeting agenda. Secondly, germination is spontaneous, but growth is not instantaneous. While some of us want to have microwave faith where everything happens quickly, the truth of the matter is it takes time to grow. Now, do you know, I just want to confess, looking at the microwave, when I was in the 70s, I thought the microwave was the answer to everything. And the freezer shops came, and you could get microwave lasagna. Put your hand up if you've eaten lasagna or sumo still frozen in the middle. You can't even wait 4 minutes. We went down from 40 minutes to 4 minutes, and still it just weren't quick enough. We look at it, it says 3 minutes at number 7. I'll give it 2 at 10. That's what we do. Jaswell Sanders writes this. The temper of our times is for instant gratification and short-term commitment. Quick answers to prayer, quick results with minimum effort and discomfort, but there is no such thing as easy as instant discipleship. One can commence a walk of discipleship in a moment, but the first step must lengthen into a lifelong walk. Our God is after marathon runners, not sprinters. He's after marathon runners, not sprinters. William Carey, the father of the modern missionary movement, often said of himself that one of his great strengths was that he was a plodder. I love that. A plodder. He may not have had the greatest skills, but he had this tenacity. Next, growth is not always easy to measure. Kingdom growth is often detected only at certain times because we can't always see the change in our lives from day to day. But when compared to what you used to be, there should be some change and some visible fault. I was out with my mate the other night, Gary. He runs the boxing gym, and he has a load of your lot there. Your future wife goes there. Did you know that? Yeah, yeah. So you be careful; she could handle you, right? But he was saying to me the other day, he was saying, "I can't." I'm not going to say who it was; that would be inappropriate. But I was so encouraged. He said, "So and so goes to your church, doesn't he, Smithy?" I said, yeah. He says, I can't believe the change from where they were a year ago to where they are now. And sometimes, you know, it's good to look back. But if I said to your family and your friends, have you seen change? And for those of you in your 60s, your 70s and your 80s, have you somehow just become static? And you see church as something that happened in another generation? And now somehow you're just out to pasture, wait until I do your service. Because you continue to grow. I love what the Salvation Army says. There's no retirement in the Salvation Army, only promotion onto the kingdom. There is no early retirement in the kingdom of God. How did this ever happen? It says this in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the Greek, it's a continual grow. It's like being filled in the Spirit. It says don't be filled with the Spirit. The word filled in the Greek is a continuum filling. Continue to be filled. Why do we need to continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Because we all leak. Ben? Yeah. And so the next thing we've got to do, we've got to be intentional about our growth. I want to say we grow when we want to grow. Or to say it another way, you're as close as God as you want to be. It's easy to blame everybody else. But you're as close as to God as you want to be. Because at the end of the day, when push comes to the shove, it's about you and God. Maturity does not come from eating spiritual tidbits. If you want to grow, you need to be intentional about it. You need to read your Bible regularly. You need to pray. You need to serve. You need to attend and participate in Sunday services. You need to join a house group. You need to share your faith. You need an accountability partner. You need to practice the gifts of the Spirit. You need to know what it's like to make yourself vulnerable. You need to know what it's like to fly by your pants and to put yourself into a situation where you think, I'd never started this conversation. And so you say to God, God, bail me out. You need to pray prayers that aren't easy, that you think, goodness gracious, you know, I believe in a God who heals. And now I've gone and told my mate. And then your next thing your mate says, well, why don't you pray for me? If your God can heal, let him heal me. And then you start looking at yourself and you think, oh, I can't do that, but God in you can. Because God's word is powerful. And so it's about having confidence in God's word, in this seed that is powerful to accomplish its will. It may mean you've got to get rid of sin in your life, change your friends, practice spiritual disciplines. Ask yourselves these questions. Do you love God more today than you did yesterday? That's quite basic, isn't it? Do I love people more today than I did yesterday? Is there fruit in my life? Is there an attitude that needs to change, a sin I need to confess, a person I need to forgive? Next, we need to help others grow, but understand this is ultimately, it is God who brings growth. Have you ever tried to help someone grow because their heart wasn't into it? Nothing happens. I'm really appreciative. I think Christians Against Poverty is fantastic. I've got to say that. I have seen an organisation that constantly transforms lives, but they have a policy that if you don't cooperate with them, then you no longer become their client. They say if you tell lies twice or you don't do what we say twice, there's no point in just continuing the journey. You can begin again, but they sort of say, are you serious about this? I enjoy mentoring and discipling others. I take great comfort in the fact that God, though, is the one who brings growth. Kevin Ruffcon states, Christian growth has more to do with allowing the word of God to be planted in our lives than it does with us doing great things for Christ. Apply what you know. Don't become overqualified. I say that to you young people. It's fantastic you go to Soul Survivor, but just don't see it as head knowledge. Those transforming stories you've heard, those things that inspired you, those things that invoke something of excitement in you, and don't let them die. It wasn't just something that happened last week, that it's something to affect your whole future. I love what 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. We're a team in this. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God make it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God makes things grow. I love that. That's a team. What that's saying is, look, if you bring somebody to a carol service, Foxy's asked to be baptised last week, didn't you, Foxy? So we're going to baptise Foxy in a couple of weeks' time, and I've got another 5 baptisms. So what we've got to do is we say to ourselves, look, we're a team in this. So Foxy makes himself vulnerable by going to be baptised. He'll end up blubbering out some kind of testimony. But you've got to bring your friends. And if you bring your friends, and I'll commit to tell them about Jesus, but afterwards you've got prepared to say, well, actually, this is what I think as well. We're a team. I can't do it alone. And you can't do it alone. But together we can do something special. And by each taking the responsibility, somebody who comes to this church can see that the church is broader than one kind of personality. I think it's good that we're all different. It's God's providence, not the farmer's power, that makes grain grow. Likewise, I can't make anyone else grow, but I can direct them to a God who will grow them. Let's just tell people about Jesus. We can't do it, but we can introduce them. What was that advert that used to say, I can't do it, but I know a man who can? What was that, the AA? Yeah. Well, that's it, innit? Look, we can't fix your car, but I know a man who can. I can't sort your life out, but I know a God who can. That's our job. Just a little thing for you with families. Sow seed in your children and wait patiently for it to sprout. Psalm 26:1. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carries seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. You know, it's easier to pull a weed out while it's small and shallow than let it get in and deep. And it's also true that you just can't pull the top off your weeds. I know that, they just come back. No one likes to pull weeds, but if we let it go, it chokes the good things around them. Even well-fertilized soil grows weeds better. Don't fertilize to grow weeds. So much is true with those weeds in our lives. Verse 29 shows us that sowing eventually leads to harvesting, because when the seed takes root, there will be fruit. And it says there in verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. It's wonderful. We sow, God is in charge of grow, and then we get to focus on what we'll show. And if you're weary of sowing the seed and tired of all the weeds, then you might want to memorize Galatians 6:9. And it says these words, let us not become weary of doing good, for in a proper time we will reap a harvest, and so do not give up. I want to say to you that some of you might have given up. I reckon, sorry to mention you again, Craig, but you know, it took Craig 10 years, and it would have been so easy to flirt and the house group to say, we've dealt with Craig, he's never going to change. Be so easy for Fleur. Now, for those of you who've got children and you've done your best and your children aren't in church and it breaks your heart, then you look at a passage and it says, bring your child up in the ways of the Lord. But have you ever noticed it says, in the end, they'll not depart from them? It doesn't say today. It says in the end. And so you pray for your children and you say, Lord, I want to claim your word. Because your word says, in the end, they'll not depart from them. In the end, in the end, in the end, Lord. We're not at the end, so Lord, do something. Be true to your word. And some of you might have given up on your own family members, on those that you love. But I am telling you this, that in the end, if you commit to God, God will commit to you. And I love it when people say to me, you'll never believe it. So-and-so became a Christian. You'll never believe it. I will believe it because I believe in a God who can do immeasurably more than I can see or understand. And we should not be surprised. We should simply celebrate and get excited. That's all I'm going to say. Celebrate and get excited. Because in the end, our God is faithful. And you and I are just called to sow that seed in which there's power. That's all I'm sharing this morning.